It was a little over 36 years ago, but I remember it like it happened yesterday. Carol and I were coming home from the Ephrata Community Hospital with our firstborn child. God had given us a beautiful little girl, and Carol and I were just excited as we could be. I was really excited. You saw a couple years ago and many years ago how excited I got with grandchildren. I was worse when my own children came along. The only thing that excited me more about the grandchildren is I knew I didn't have to change diapers. But I remember I was really excited of this beautiful little girl I was holding in my arms, and this was fantastic. And I said to my wife, let's celebrate. Let's get a pizza and really live it up tonight. So I called up the local pizza shop, and we went all out. I got a pizza with everything on it. Came home, we put that little girl down in her little seat on the table there, and we opened up the box, and the steam comes out of it, and the aroma was just great. And I took a slice of it off there, and I put it up to her mouth, and she did nothing. And I said to myself, must be the anchovies. So I picked the anchovies off, and I gave Christy another little slice, and she just sat there and did nothing. Wouldn't take it. So I thought, well, maybe it's the green peppers. So I pulled the green peppers off, and I put it up to her mouth again. Nothing. I said, it's got to be the hot sausage then that she's not wanting. So I took the sausage off the thing, put it up to her mouth again. I mean, with this one over and over and over and over again. Finally, I got down. I just had a piece of crust in my hand. I put the piece of crust up to her mouth, and she just sat there, wouldn't take it. And I said to myself, what kind of a kid is this? Now, you know that didn't happen. I would never order a pizza with anchovies on it. Or green peppers, yes. Little kids can't handle those types of things. And I knew better than that. Even though I was a first-time dad, I knew that that wasn't going to be the case, because all that you can give a little baby, an infant, is milk. It's all they'll take. But in the course of time, as they develop a little bit, a couple of months on down the road, you introduce cereal. And a little time after that, you get to introduce fruits and vegetables. And after a while, they start growing teeth. And that pasty-looking, ucky cereal that you used to spoon-feed to them, now you can give them Cheerios. You sit them up in their high chair, and you put the Cheerios on the tray, and they can pick them up themselves. And you say, hey, this is getting pretty easy. And as the teeth keep coming in, they're able to chew more and more things, and the awful, awful, awful fruits and vegetables, now you can put real stuff out there. They can chew them up. And sooner or later, you can even put some meat out there for them to chomp on. And that's how the diet of an infant works. But suppose we came home with that beautiful little girl and we put her down and gave her some milk to drink, and she drank that. And as kids do for a couple of months, she subsisted on milk and more milk and more milk. And the time came around which we were to introduce cereal to her. And when you put the spoon up to her mouth, she just sat there and went, mm-mm. And in a little bit of time when you're supposed to introduce the fruits and the vegetables, mm-mm. All I want's milk. And the meats and all that stuff, mm-mm. And at 16 years of age, uh-uh. All I want is milk. You'd say, something's wrong with that kid. Either there's a medical problem, or she needs an attitude adjustment. And probably it's the latter of the two. Unfortunately, many Christians are like that spiritually. They come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and biblically they are born into the family of God. And as a new believer, they are not ready to handle pizza with anchovies on it, or hot sausage, or green peppers. All they can drink is milk. That's all they can handle, and that's what's to be expected. But as time goes on, you expect that their diet is going to change, and they're going to to start taking in some new things. And oftentimes, many Christians just don't want to do it. Milk's good. We've lived on this for a couple of months now. We've grown on this. Why bother? It's too much work. And it creates a lot of problems. The writer of the book of Hebrews was dealing with a bunch of people that should have grown past their spiritual infancies and should have been eating some solid food. But they just sat there and went, mm-mm. Consequently, they were having problems. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 5. I want to consider the last 4 verses. Verses 11 through 14. The author says this, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." The "of whom," many Bible commentators believe, refers back to Melchizedek. Well, they're half right. It does refer to Melchizedek immediately, but in context, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews isn't writing to give a great biography about Melchizedek. He's giving a biography that speaks of the superiority of Jesus Christ, and he's using Melchizedek as a type. And he has many things to say about Melchizedek as he resembles Christ, or as Christ resembles him. But these receivers of the letter were dull of hearing, and consequently it made it difficult for the writer of Hebrews to write to them. The word dull there is a Greek word which might be translated this way, unmotivated. They just had no real desire. They were content with what they had. They didn't want to venture out into something new. They didn't want any new tastes coming into their mouth. They lived on milk for a while, and milk was good, and they had grown at least a little bit, and they thought they could do this forever. Unfortunately, as babies grow and their body becomes mature enough to handle solid foods, they require solid foods. The milk is good for the strength of the bones, but you need other things for the strength of the muscles. And consequently, in order for that little child to start sitting upright and crawling and walking, you have to develop those things, and necessarily it's you got to provide more than milk. And here these infants, spiritually speaking, were getting by, but they weren't growing like they should. Notice what happens, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. The word strong meat better is translated solid food. It's not meat that has spoiled or is tough, because no one wants tough meat. It's just solid food. Whether it be Cheerios or a T-bone steak makes no difference. They were supposed to have moved past. They were supposed to be... Enough time had gone by that rather than being taught the words, they should be teachers. It's like a person who is going to, who is of college age, and says, "Teach me how to count to five." It's just not right. You should have learned that long ago. You should be teaching others how to count to five. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Interesting term. He didn't say unskillful in the word of God. He said in the word of righteousness. You see, it's not that they don't know anything, it's that they don't know how to apply anything of biblical content to the everyday affairs of life, how to live life in a right manner that's pleasing to God. They just know, okay, well, Jesus died for me, and not much past that. But solid food belongs to him, to them that are of full age. The word there is literally mature. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily old. Just grown up. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The Greek word is the word we get gymnasium from. to discern both good and evil. Now, the good and evil may not necessarily be a distinction between good and evil. Evil doesn't have to necessarily be moral evil. It could be good and better, or better and best, or it could be good and evil. In other words, they just don't really know that much. And consequently, they're not progressing. And they had problems. This whole group of people that the author of Hebrews is writing to are questioning, did believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, was that really it? They were in danger of falling away. And that's a subject, Lord willing, we'll deal with next Sunday morning when we get into chapter 6. They were ready to turn their backs on Christ. They were willing to say, I think we made a mistake. And they didn't. Why? Because they didn't know the difference between good and evil. Good and better. Better and best. They were just going by, drinking the milk. In the time they should have been teachers, they were students. Not growing hardly at all. Not having the abilities that they should have had to do the service of God. Believe it or not, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Nah, you don't believe it. What was the problem? Think back with me on a little child. When my daughter was young and my boys were young and they were just infants, I enjoyed actually holding them in my arms. And because Carol wasn't nursing, we were bottle feeding. I enjoyed the feeding, except at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't particularly enjoy that too much. But when it was the daytime, to have that little child looking up at you, and that was neat. Enjoyed that. When they got to be 50 pounds, didn't enjoy that. I wasn't going to hold them in my arms. They became too heavy to do that. It was time for them to start feeding themselves. But if they were constantly living on milk, they would never develop the ability to feed themselves. You know how it is when you put those little babies in the high chair for basically the first time and they're sitting up and you put the food in front of them. And you let them feed themselves. You know, they're grabbing at things, and it's on their cheeks, and it's in their hair. My parents tell me that I used to take mashed potatoes and put them on top of my head. I can't believe that. I'm more dignified than that. Why do you chuckle? Those who are only drinkers of milk are always dependent upon somebody else to feed them. Consequently, they have an inability to be a blessing to others. When Christy grew up and Matthew came along, and Matthew got to the point where we could put him in the high chair, Christy was old enough to hand him the Cheerios. Carol and I could just sit there and pay no attention to him. No, we didn't do that. But she became a blessing to others. And those who are spiritually just taking in the milk don't really have much to offer. They can't be in ministry to others. They don't know how to minister. They don't have the strength to do so. And consequently, they're always finding difficulties in the everyday affairs of life. Can you picture this little child getting to the point where they should start crawling? No strength in the muscles. They should start standing and walking, and there's no strength in the muscles, and they can't do that. They struggle. And consequently, any obstacle that comes along in life is easy to knock them over. Just as in the faith, they become susceptible to believing just about anything. For those of you who are not in my Sunday school class this morning, I showed a video from the Today program not too long ago where a little boy by the name of Colton Burpo, interesting name for a study on feeding infants. You'll think about that. Sarah's got it. Sarah's on the ball today. Supposedly had been taken to heaven. And he was describing all the things that he saw in heaven. how he was sitting in the lap of Jesus and the angels were singing to him. And his great-grandfather had these huge wings and he only had little wings, but all the things that he saw. And a lot of people, in fact, a friend of mine from high school on her Facebook page, when she saw this video, and that's where I became knowledgeable of it, she said, "Oh, this is fantastic!" And I responded to it and I said, "Nope, contradicts Scripture. How can you say that?" And I opened up my Bible and said, "This is hell." But you see, if I hadn't eaten any of that solid food, I would have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I think sinker is an interesting proposition on that one. And consequently, they're susceptible to believing just about anything. What do you do to prevent that? Maybe there's someone here this morning who's been living a long time. You've trusted Christ as Savior, but all you've been taking in is milk. Well, five things that I want to give you quickly this morning. Number one, in order to grow, there has to be an intake of food. How many of you, after the service is over today, will go out and have something to eat for lunch? I want to see a show of hands. Wow, that's just about everybody. How many of you will wait until next Sunday after the service to eat again? Nobody. But how many of you will do that spiritually? You'll go home and this Bible will sit on your table or desk or chair and stay in the car, or you'll leave it here, as people have done unintentionally, and it won't get touched until next week. Now let me ask you, if you can't survive until next Sunday without physical food, how do you expect to survive without spiritual food? Well, once you take that food in, there's something that you must do with it. Chew it. And chew it well. May I say that spiritually you read the Word of God, that's the intake, and then meditate upon it. Simplest thing to do, ask yourself some questions. What does this mean? Who is this? When is it happening? Where are they? Who, what, when, where, how, why? Those questions. And start chewing on it. Breaking it down into its simplest forms. What's next? Swallow it. Won't do you any good in your mouth. Swallowing it is ingesting it, which is comparable to believing it. Here's what the Word of God says. I may not understand all that there is, but I trust it. And then, once it gets down right about here, it's in the stomach. There it's digested. It's broken down even further into its basic elements. Well, maybe you can't do that. There are books. There are articles. There's magazine articles. There's the internet. There's the library. There's concordances, commentaries, lexicons, all kinds of things that might help you to do that. And you start reading. But even that's not good enough. There's one thing yet that's necessary in the physical thing. Once it goes from here, it goes down to here into the intestines. And there all the nutrients are absorbed into the system. They're put into practice. That's what these people were supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be teachers. They're supposed to be communicating it. That what they've learned to others. And you know what? As long as that's still here, there's no room for more food. You've got to absorb it into the system and make more room. And once you do, you become hungry again and you start the process all over. And guess what? You grow. By the way, if the exercise is sufficient, you'll grow in all the right proportions. These people weren't doing that. And they were falling away. Oh, that would never happen to me. Why not? Are you somehow better than them? Well, I don't like anchovies. Neither do I. So skip the anchovies. Find what you do like. Keep trying new things. And if you don't like them, that's okay. Try another thing. Keep growing. And then you will reach that maturity. Amen? I close with that.